From our family to your family, this is A Legacy of Faith, the podcast. Welcome to A Legacy of Faith, the podcast designed to help your family survive today, plan for tomorrow, and always keep an eye on eternity. We are back after about a week away, and as we've said from the beginning, that now we're settled into a regular schedule. We're going to have two podcasts a month, beginning this month in September. And after last program, we were with Chad Landman, and we appreciate him for being with us. But I, for one, am very, very thankful to be back with my wife, Leah. Leah, welcome back to the program.
Thank you.
It's you're a lot better looking than Chad Landman. I'll just say that, and I've told Chad that he agrees. That we appreciate Chad for being with us as our first guest. We have some more lined up for the future, but it's good to be back, kind of in the regular routine of things. And we are excited about today's program, our fourth program, and we're going to be talking today about homeschooling. But we're spending some time talking about some myths concerning homeschooling. But before we do that. Homeschooling is one of those things that we were talking before we started recording, Leah, that we do it, but this is a family decision, each individual family decision.
Yeah, one of the things we were talking about is that we never want to imply that think that all families everywhere ought to do this, or that they're making a really wrong, sinful choice by not doing it. We certainly don't want to imply that when we talk about homeschool, so please understand our heart concerning that. You know, we do believe for us it's been a great thing, and we've seen it be great in other families as well. So that's kind of where we're coming from with this one.
Yeah, it's what we do. It's what we currently do. We've always said that our goal is to homeschool our children all the way through high school, but that we're going to evaluate each year too. But each family needs to make the decision that's best for them. Homeschooling is obviously one of those things that is growing. It's still a minority, obviously, but as we were preparing for this, I did a little bit of research and found out that this is from 2012-2013, that school year, so that's only, what, two school years ago, including the one that just got underway, or in some places it's just now getting underway, these late starters and all this stuff. But in 2012-2013, from the ages of 5 to 17, obviously school-aged children, 2.75% of all children in the United States were homeschooled, and that equals just under 1.5 million students. Now, obviously, you know, that's a small number percentage-wise, but 1.5 million, just under that, are homeschooled. So it's something that is a significant number of children. But as you said, Leah, this is something that each family must decide for themselves. But sometimes it's easy to hear some things about homeschooling. It's easy to hear some of these things just thrown around as truth that are really myths and use those to decide we're not going to do this.
Right. It's like we said earlier, we want always to make sure people understand that parents have the choice in the way to raise their children and to train them. Now, we know that that's not an option, but, you know, there are different ways you can do that. And still do a good job. And but what if we can, if I can say this plainly enough, I hope I can. We want, though, when people choose whether or not to homeschool, that they're making an informed decision and not just quoting a myth that maybe is not true. And so that's what we want to tackle today.
Yeah, and there are a whole bunch. We narrowed it down to five, mostly for time's sake, where we could talk about each one for a couple of minutes without, you know, trying to list a million of them. In researching for this, I just kind of did a Google search for homeschooling myths, and I think I came across like 30, you know, very quickly. But we narrowed it down to five that either we've heard people say or we've read elsewhere that are important to us to kind of answer from our perspective. The first one is this. The first homeschooling myth we want to discuss on this week's podcast is, I can't teach my own kids in a formal way. Now, we will say from the outset that both of us got degrees in education or teaching license in our college education. So I like to tell people that you're the teacher in our homeschool, and I tell folks you're in your wheelhouse. I mean, you have an elementary education degree, but some people think you have to have something like that because the picture they see, Leah, is of a perfect little schoolroom, just like they're going to see at the local public school or private school inside the house with all the desks in a row, you know, one or two or three or whatever, and everything done just like it is in a public school or private school in a very, very formal way. And since I don't have, someone thinks, I don't have that training, then I can't do this.
Right. You know, the thing to remember about that is that a lot of the training you receive in college for education is in order to teach a room full of students. It's not necessarily how to educate another person. And I think that would be the first thing to remember, is that not every skill, personally speaking, in fact, not many of them that I actually learned at a great school of education at Freed Hardeman University, do I use now in a homeschool. So that's one of the most important things to remember. And another thing is that there is so much help. All you have to do is look around at some of the wonderful homeschool blogs.
You've told me there's almost too many of them.
Too many, yes. And you will find every kind of imaginable philosophy, every kind of idea relating to homeschooling, too much, and almost even some things contradicting. And so really you have all the help that you could possibly want in that way as far as information goes.
And one of the things to keep in mind, I've heard you tell, especially moms, but just told parents before who were thinking about homeschooling or just having this conversation with you, is one of the things we got to keep in mind is we're already teaching our kids. If they're around you at all, no matter where they go to school, public school, private school, homeschool, whatever, when they're with you, they are learning. And so much of, especially a homeschool education, can be just day-to-day living. Now, it's going to be somewhat more formal most of the time than just, you know, cooking breakfast and everything. But there are so many times where just simply things you do in everyday life, you simply incorporate the educational side of things. You bring them into the kitchen and bake cookies for the widow down the street. Well, guess what? You can talk about reading because you're doing a recipe. You can talk about math because you're doing all sorts of measuring and, you know, and then, of course, you can teach them home ec and cleaning up the mess they've made. But we just don't think of it because it's not done with books in a classroom, you know, in a formal way as we think about it. But you can do this. As you said, there's help almost too much at times. But everyone, it seems, knows someone who has homeschooled, who has been homeschooled and can help in that way. With the World Wide Web, there's information all over the place. And then simply look at some of the things you do on a regular basis and say, okay, if I took this activity or this basically daily thing and incorporated reading or math or science or whatever, I am teaching my child or children in a formal way.
And one thing I want to add here before we move on is that this is maybe a point B on the first myth, is that the curriculum, people ask me all the time, are you given a curriculum to use? And I'm not. I can choose what curriculum I'm going to use. And so, and most often, the curriculum that you use has just step-by-step directions or advice on teaching this particular lesson. And so it's not as daunting as most people think. And also, I will add, too, that each state has their own laws and requirements on homeschooling. And so, you know, depending on what state you live in, there are just multiple ways to go about homeschooling. And some states, you know, are harder to live by, so to speak. Tennessee is a very relaxed state about homeschooling. So, you know, I guess what we're saying is check into all of the options of whatever state you're in. It's easily found online, what they require from the homeschooling families, and then you can go from there and see. But like we've said before, all of the help you could ever want comes through the curriculum, comes through just personal blogs, seeing how the ins and outs are, and it's really lots of information to use.
That's a great point about the books and curriculum, because there are times, not often, but there have been times where you've had a doctor's appointment or something and I've come in to fill in. And I'll just say it, frankly, you're a whole lot better at this than I am. But you say, hey, here's the page or the pages we're discussing today, and I basically can sit there and read it, and it tells you which questions to ask and those sorts of things. So that's myth number one. We spent some time there because I hear this one personally more probably than any other one, is that I can't teach my own kids in a formal way. Myth number two. My kids would hate being bottled up in the house all day. I mean, they already sleep here, eat here, you know, play in the yard in the evenings or whatever. Wintertime, they don't get to do that because even in Tennessee, it gets cold, you know. And here they are. They don't even get to ride on the big yellow bus to the big brick building. The kids call it the brick schools. You know, they don't get to do that. Here they are, stuck in the house, bottled up in the house from whatever in the morning to whatever in the afternoon doing school. And we don't have time really to talk about this from both sides of this, you know, heavily. But we also could sort of put a, you know, 2B here on a myth, and that is, I don't want to be bottled up with my kids all day long in the house. But let's take a couple minutes here, Lee, and talk about just the angle of, you know, do the kids feel like they're trapped all the time, and how can we avoid that as being a myth?
Well, it's a myth because just because you're homeschooling doesn't mean you stay home all the time. There are anything you can imagine, any way to teach your child about a certain topic or lesson, it's totally up to you. It's totally your discretion. If you're, say, once we were studying, when they were in kindergarten, I wanted to do a fire safety or community helpers kind of study 1 week or for 2 weeks. And so we went to the firehouse and they saw how the firemen keep their trucks in immaculate order. And we saw where they lived and they talked to the kids about that a little bit. And there are so many times that, you know, if you're studying whatever topic, you can go out of the house to learn that. A lot of our time out, especially with science, now that they've been younger, is just being outside looking at nature, looking at the world God created. And so you don't stay in the house all day.
I hear the kids quite often when I come home from the office talking about going on nature walks, because you've been talking about insects or plants or whatever, and you just simply step outside of the house to do those things. We have a friend who one time we were talking about homeschooling. She teaches in a public school and is a fantastic public school teacher. But as long as, you know, I guess as long as God gives me a memory, I don't think I'll forget what she said. She said one of the advantages of homeschooling is the world is your classroom. I love that way of picturing it. Yes, we'll admit it. We spend a vast majority of our time in the classroom in our house. We have a room set up as a sort of classroom. But vast majority does not mean 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, all year long. There are many times where we'll take them to the zoo to draw pictures of frogs, or take them to, as you said, the firehouse, or they'll go out for a nature walk. Sometimes they just simply step out the back door to run off some energy for a couple of minutes. But it's not just being bottled up in the house all day long. It's, we're going to teach our kids, and we're going to use whatever is necessary. And I'll put this here. I wanted to mention this at some point. I'll mention it here because I think it fits, that this is a very minor reason that we chose to homeschool, but it is part of a reason. And that is when we travel. For example, I'm holding a gospel meeting somewhere or something along those lines. The kids go, and we'll do school many times in various places, visit museums, or even sometimes in a hotel room if we have to, whatever we have to do to get their schooling done. But we can adjust our schedule, our school schedule, around. We can travel anywhere at any time, pretty much, and still continue on with the schooling, education, and the field trips, not necessarily downtown Nashville. Sometimes it's to Georgia or to, you know, wherever we're going.
Right. I think, you know, you can say the same thing about any kind. The homeschooled kids who are homeschooled, that's kind of redundant, but they are not in the house all day any more than other kids are in the schoolroom all day. And in fact, I think as homeschoolers, you really have more opportunities to take field trips, to take more hands-on kind of learning. Just speaking, as I did teach 1 year in a first grade classroom, well, there's only so many activities, practically speaking, you can do if you have even a small class, as in 15, much less, you know, upwards of 20, 25. And so it's a good thing to remember. And like I said, we're just not necessarily being advocates, so to speak, in that way, but we're just trying to dispose some of the myths. So don't worry or choose not to homeschool because you're thinking that your kids won't be out in the world enough. It's just a myth.
And that leads to myth number three, which is probably actually the biggest myth about homeschooling, the thing it seems that most people hear most often. Myth number three, homeschool kids don't learn socialization skills. In other words, they're kind of nutty. They're kind of weird sometimes. You know, Tim Hawkins, the comedian that does all kinds of Christian things, even has a song called, it's to the tune of the Addams Family, but it's, we're a homeschool family. And it pokes fun. They actually homeschool their kids, so he can get away with the joke. But the whole joke of the song is these kids are kind of nuts. You know, they're a little different. And one of the things that he talks about in his stand-up act that's funny, but it's also kind of makes you think, is what do kids at regular schools get in trouble for most of the time?
For socializing.
Socializing. there are all kinds of studies that have been done that actually state that, yes, children who are homeschooled might have trouble for a little while with students of their own age or children of their own age. They actually get along better with adults at a younger age. They actually are able to interact with adults and the elderly at an earlier age, on average, than children who are in public school and private school. Now, there's all, we could get into psychology and all sorts of things as to why that's the case, but let's be honest. Don't we want them to grow up to be able to interact with adults? That's kind of the world they're going into. But it's also just a myth that they don't learn how to get along with other kids or socially in any setting whatsoever.
Right. You know, it may be true that your children might not be around many kids all day long, but it's not true that they are never around children. I've heard people say that and maybe understand their meaning and not really holding a grudge when someone says that, but I have heard that several times, is that, you know, they might be making a statement, well, you know, some kids are homeschooled and they're never around other kids, and I just want to stand up and say, that's not true. They are not never around other kids. Well,
and if they literally are never around other kids, that's your fault as a parent, right, for not making sure that they are around children. But, you know, obviously being Christians and this being a Christian-based podcast, go to church.
Right.
Have them in a Bible class.
And I will say this, and we are thankful and blessed that we are in a congregation where there are several children and around our children's age even. And we happen to live on a street where there are children, our children's age. And so I really, really believe that God's just blessed us in that way. I feel like that's one thing he's taken care of for us, because our children are around other children their ages. And even if they're not, as long as they have some good friends their age, it's like Adam said, they're really interacting with people, and you can make sure that they do, of all kinds of people, all ages. And so it can really turn out to be a great thing that they have a more varied social life.
So you include in there, you know, going to church or Bible class, being involved if your church has some sort of children's ministry or, you know, service days for the kids to do. You know, make sure you're involved in those. A lot of homeschools, especially in mid-size and larger communities, have co-ops where they can go take certain classes or special studies of different kinds with other homeschool children, maybe one day a week or 2 days a week. Maybe they may go, for example, to a particular place and study biology when they're in high school with other homeschooled children. As children, they may have different activities, maybe art or other things, and that's a great way. And they also, in that way, learn to sit in a regular classroom.
Right.
Because if they go to a university or a college, they're going to need to learn how to sit in a classroom.
Right.
But there are many ways. And see this as an opportunity to make sure your kids are involved in other kids' lives, but also don't just think they have to know how to act around other kids. Take them to the nursing home. Take them
right.
to the hospital. Take them down the street to visit, you know, a couple that just moved in, and they're going to learn socialization skills just by being around people of all ages.
You know, and you brought up something that I should have added on number one. I kept wanting to add things on number one. The one about teaching, you know, you can't teach your kids in a formal way, that you might not have the special skills. That's something I should have said, by the way, on that one, is that, and it relates to what you just said about interacting with older people. I've always said, I don't really plan on teaching my children trigonometry. Now, that doesn't mean they're not going to learn it. I don't plan on teaching it, because there will be other people far more qualified to teach trigonometry. And I will hopefully be able to have someone, and it's something I will definitely spend time in prayer about, is sending the right person to us in our life at the right time to help my children with those areas that I don't feel as qualified in. So I do want to say that. But then that also relates to the opportunities they have to spend time with other people, even people who are helping you educate your children.
Are you saying I'm not qualified to teach trigonometry?
Probably not.
Isn't that the thing with the hypotenuse or something?
You can teach them, you know, American history.
Okay, I can do that. If it has anything with sines and cosines, yeah, I'm in trouble. But that's myth number three, and as we said, probably the one you hear more than anything else, is that they don't learn socialization skills. Myth number four, and you're the teacher, I'm going to give the myth and let you go for a while. I don't have the patience to do this.
Yes, that's a myth. People will say that. I hear that for myself all the time. If someone will be talking to me about homeschooling, and they'll say, oh, I don't have the patience to do that. And I almost laugh, because I feel like I'm one of the most impatient people in the whole wide world. I just am one of those people that can't stand to wait on anything. I'm always wanting the next thing to happen fast. If something is broken, I want it fixed right then. If something is wrong, I want it resolved right then.
She's getting fired up. I better be careful and cut her off.
Right.
Here.
And so I do not have the patience to teach my children, if you're just going to look at that particular qualification, homeschooling to me is a lot more than that. I mean, I would hate for that to be the only reason I choose not to homeschool, is because, you know, it may be a way you learn patience. You know, I'm hoping that this is happening, that after years of homeschooling, that maybe I'll be able to look back and say, you know what, that's how I've learned patience, is by having that opportunity to homeschool.
And one of the things that we need to say here, in just a very honest and open way, is some days are just going to stink. You know, some days are absolutely going to stink as far as the homeschool goes. It's going to be an awful day. There are going to be days where you know, the old saying, everything goes wrong. Well, close to it. You know, there are going to be days where the kids just absolutely try your patience. But that's true in the middle of July when they're home from school, you know, when they're on their summer break. And so not having the patience to do this, yes, you do, as long as you go into it knowing there are going to be days that just are awful. And we're not saying that to turn people off. We're saying that because that's just the honest truth.
Well, and something I heard that has just always stuck with me, one day as someone, I think it was a blog post I saw, and I honestly cannot remember it, where. If I remember, I will try to have it in the show notes, that the hardest thing about homeschooling is that you are with each other more, and every flaw is magnified. And that means that, you know, if mom is a little short-tempered like this mom, or impatient like this mom, the kids just see that. You know, you can kind of hide it a little bit if your kids are in a building school, is what they call it, a building school.
Building school, not brick school, building school.
You can hide that if you're not with your children all day. Your flaws are more hidden from them. But, man, if you sit in that room with them and you're teaching them and they see you even on your bad days, there's no fooling them. I mean, our children know that I'm impatient. They know that sometimes I will just be angry when I should just keep my mouth closed. There are plenty of times I've raised my voice when I should have calmed it better. And I can't hide that from them. And they can't hide their flaws from me. And sometimes that's what's making me very angry. I will see a little hint of laziness or a little hint of disrespect. And I'm seeing that more and more. You know, as I'm with them, when you're with them all day, more than I would if they were at a building school all day. And so it bothers me more. I see that. But even that can turn into a blessing, because hopefully if you've got the great heart of a parent, you want to teach them better than that. And it's not something that you maybe outsource. You know, I'm fully and most fully responsible for their character development. And if nothing else, it's because I'm with them and I'm the first person who is going to see the character flaws in order to train them better. And you know, like I said, it goes both ways. They see my character flaws, and, you know, it's a really raw place to be at. And so I believe that is something to consider, but it's still such a great thing. It's a good learning experience for both sides, the students and the teacher.
So you do have the patience to do it, with the same answers to patience and anything else: a lot of prayer, looking at things in the big picture, you know, saying it's not just getting through this day, it's getting through first grade, you know, it's getting through school, it's getting through this week. And so it's going to be difficult at times, but it's something that can be done. All right, myth number five, and we won't spend as much time on this one, but a common homeschool myth is this, and that is that kids who are homeschooled don't do well on standardized tests, and in fact, they just don't do well in college. That's just absolutely untrue.
Yeah, the research I've seen on that says that homeschooled kids aren't damaged by homeschool as a general rule, that they score on standardized tests in the 87th percentile, meaning that they score higher than 87% of the other students. So that's really, it's a myth. Now, you know, there are going to be homeschoolers who have not been given the education that they needed, just like there are kids in public school or private school who missed out on the education that they needed. And so it has more to do with the parents and the family setting And so please don't judge a whole group of people by the bad examples necessarily.
That's right. You have, you know, a graduating class from a public school of 100 and two or three of them drop out of college within the first 6 weeks. Well, that school doesn't teach anybody. Well, that's not true.
Right.
They just had a couple of kids that didn't do well in college or didn't, that school wasn't for them. And one of the things we need to point out here is if you have a college in mind, especially if your students are getting, you know, closer to college, if you have a college in mind that you think they might want to go to, contact that school. You're going to be amazed at how many colleges and universities now are starting to do things with homeschoolers, with homeschooling parents, homeschooling families, to sort of ease that transition, to help out those families, to, and sometimes even letting them take classes as, you know, advanced placement classes do in a public high school or a private high school. There are a lot of colleges and universities now allowing students to take some of those same classes online or in a homeschool co-op. And so it's just, it's simply just a myth. As intelligent as the kid is, that's how well they're going to score on their tests. And as adaptable as they are and willing to learn in college, that's how well they're going to do. It doesn't matter where they go to school.
Well, and once again, it varies from state to state, the laws and the requirements for homeschooling. I know in Tennessee, we are in a what they call an umbrella school, and it just means that there's a small private school, they sometimes are called church related schools, and that they are responsible for your record keeping, your attendance and grades, and as you get in high school, your credits for your transcript. And so we will have official documents from that particular school. Once again, of course, that's how it is in Tennessee. That is one way and a very popular way to homeschool because of the lack, you know, I still have authority and control over what I'm teaching the children, but I also have an umbrella school, so to speak, just that picture of they're protecting me and have they cover me in the other areas, and they also cover many other homeschoolers. So there's two different ways to look at that picture, word picture there.
All right, so there you go. 5 common homeschooling myths. I can't teach my kids in a formal way. My kids would hate being bottled up in the house all day. Homeschool kids don't learn socialization skills. I just don't have the patience to do this. And homeschool kids don't do well on standardized tests, and they don't do well in college. Really what we're saying through all of this is, A, they're myths, obviously, but also a homeschool is as good as the parents make it. The effort they put in. And we want to ask you, your call to action on this particular podcast, episode 4, is what other myths, what other misconceptions have you heard about homeschooling, and what are your thoughts on those? We'd like for you to respond in a comment. You can do that by going to our blog, fawnfamily.com, and go to fawnfamily.com/4. That's the direct link to this particular show with the show notes as well as the comments. Or if you'd like to join us by email, shoot us an email at fawnlegacy@gmail.com. That's fawnlegacy@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you about this particular program or anything else you have to say about the podcast in general. Of course, each time we want to ask you to give us a rating or review on iTunes. We appreciate all of those of you who have done that already. We're doing very well on iTunes. And we're also now, Leah, do you know what Stitcher is?
No idea.
Well, good. We're also on Stitcher, which is an online radio, sort of a streaming podcast service, and we are there. If you prefer that to iTunes, we're on Stitcher, and you can listen to us as to your playlist on Stitcher. We also always invite you to enjoy us. We do invite you to enjoy us, but to join us through our email newsletter. It's absolutely free. You'll get all of our blog posts, podcasts, show notes, and other things absolutely free, and you can go to fawnfamily.com to sign up for our email newsletter. Our next episode, episode 5, will be released on September the 18th, 2 weeks from today, September 18th, 2014. We're going to do sort of a semi-book review. We're going to talk about the new book, Smart Money, Smart Kids, by Rachel Cruz and Dave Ramsey. We look forward to talking about that book. Leah, we're going to talk about money and kids. Kids and money. Or money and kids, one or the other. But Smart Money, Smart Kids will be the topic of episode 5. We appreciate you for listening this week. Forward to being back with you again in 2 weeks on A Legacy of Faith.